This podcast is brought to you by Local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire. For the best selection of silver and gold, visit the Local Silver Mint showroom in tax-free New Hampshire today. Online at localsilvermint.com.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Yeah, so I was right about the typos here. This is from the Washington Times. Days after producing a Supreme Court motion riddled with typos in their bid to reinstate a gerrymandered congressional map, Virginia Democrats filed a new motion to the high court, this time with an even bigger mistake. Jay Jones, on Monday, asked the U.S. Supreme Court to set aside the Supreme Court ruling last week that struck down the Democrats' map. The emergency motion, however, was erroneously addressed to the Supreme Court of Virginia. And that's what we were just talking about before we went to break. Now, there are a few different stories that I have on my mind, but something that just occurred to me. I was in the green room eating my beef jerky stick. First time I've tried that from the vending machine, Taylor. I take the most risks. If you knew what I'm getting from this vending machine, first time I tried Indian food, vending machine. Delish, by the way. Beef jerky. Sticks of meat.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're good. It's nice in a pinch. But I'm sitting there eating my beef jerky stick, and I'm looking at the Fox Chiron, and it says Mark Wayne Mullen is coming up at 3 o'clock. And I've been thinking about Mark Wayne Mullen because I'm trying to work on this story about how all these people with old jobs, you know, Mark Wayne Mullen was disparaged by Jimmy Kimmel for being a plumber. Spencer Pratt, now he's in a lot of heat for being a former reality TV star. And it got me thinking, though. I'm like, oh, Mark Wayne Mullen, haven't heard from him in a while, haven't been talking that much lately about DHS. And it occurred to me, Taylor, that every once in a blue moon, you got to take a step back and you got to remember how manufactured these major movements in the Democrat Party are. Like, there was a period of time there where they were foaming at the mouth 24/7 about ICE occupying these cities. We need to get ICE out. And all these crazy Karens were like downloading apps trying to tell them where they could find these ICE agents and block them with their minivans. It was crazy. And then, as soon as it was there, as fast as it came, it left. And you don't really hear about it. And it will drum back up. Like, there'll be a couple weeks, something will happen. They'll tap on that one. They'll spin that wheel, the giant wheel of fortune. And then they'll go, okay, we're back. We're back. We're going to do the ICE stuff again. But it does show you. And I just want to compare it for a second here to the right. Because during the Biden administration, when that border was open, we talked about it. For 4 years, we talked about it nonstop, the border. And you know why? It's not because, like, oh, we're more committed to our fake messaging. It's because it was actually opened and it was worth talking about every single day. It was the size, the scale, the scope of what was going on was the magnitude of it was big enough for us to focus on it almost every day on this program.
And we're still dealing with the consequences.
But they'll focus on these stories. And the way you can tell that 90% of the story is either exaggerated or sometimes completely made up is how fast they'll move on to something else and never come back to it, or come back to it months later when they think they have another hook they can bring you in with. But when it came to Joe Biden's open border, we talked about it round the clock because it was really happening. There was drone footage. There was Bill Malugin. At the, at the southern border watching people flood in. And I just, when I heard Mark Wayne Mullen's name and I saw it on the screen, I was like, not for nothing. But they were on that for a minute. That was really their raison d'être. That was getting them out of bed every morning, was I'm taking on ICE. ICE out. Give me that pin. Give me that lawn sign. Oh, and another thing I want to mention, because I just brought up Spencer Pratt.
Don't open up!
I was thinking about all the similarities between Spencer and Trump, and Trump, obviously, the nickname guy, Spencer. Karen Basura is what he's calling her. Karen Basura. And I started thinking about how these two guys are getting so much grief because they used to be reality TV stars. As I mentioned, Mark Wayne Mullen used to be a plumber. Devin Nunes used to be a dairy farmer. And when we listened to that woman yesterday, Taylor, that angry, awful woman from CNN with the high ponytail who's screaming, like, he wants his wife to have a singing career and he's just in it for the fame. And I just want to tell these people, does it ever occur to you that guys like Spencer Pratt and Donald Trump would be more than happy to have kept on doing exactly what they were doing, but the incompetence of this highly exclusive racketeering enterprise known as the political world, those politicians are so inept that you've kind of forced their hand into joining politics. Follow me here. Spencer Pratt was living in a mansion, or not a mansion, he was living in a very nice house in LA. He was filming hummingbird TikToks, listening to Taylor Swift, making funny Snapchats. He's a big Swiftie. And he was probably filming cameos, and he was trying to boost his wife's singing career. Now she says that. She says that, like, and he's doing all these things, and that didn't work out for him, so now he wants to enter politics. I would argue that Trump and Spencer Pratt, if these politicians, if these dinosaurs who have been doing this for 60 or 70 years could just make it so that, I don't know, your house doesn't burn down, then they would have been fine, Taylor, to say, I don't want any part of this. I like the flashy life. I like to have fun. I want to be an entertainer. I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't really want to walk the halls of Congress. I don't really want to sit in these debate auditorium of a high school and have this debate with somebody. I don't get the vibe from Spencer that he's clamoring to be a part of this club that they all think is, you know, oh, only us geniuses know what it's like to work in
definitely
politics.
Definitely have a weird vibe to you.
I don't think they really want to be part of it. I think that because of the sucky job that you guys have done, you've left them no choice. Spencer Pratt probably wants to be filming hummingbirds in his house. But you know what the problem is with that? His house burnt down. So now he's looking around going, maybe I should try this because it doesn't seem like everybody else. The only thing I'm trying to say is, if you guys even did a halfway decent job, I think a lot of these people who you disparage for having other jobs before they got into public life would have been more than happy to stay as the dairy farmer or to stay as the plumber or to stay as the reality TV star or to stay as the real estate tycoon. But because you've messed everything up so thoroughly, they've wandered into this area that they probably don't even want to really be in. That's how bad you are. You are the thing. You are the thing that is bringing all of these people that you look down on. Oh, they're not a lifelong politician like me. Yeah, and if you were even a little bit better at it, they probably never would become a politician in the first place. Now, I just mentioned LA. It's worth noting. Here's a story for you. You ever heard of Arcadia? It's in California. And they're having a problem with their mayor. We've talked a lot about Chinese spies. And actually, now that I think about it, every time we talk about Chinese spies, it usually does have to do with a politician from California. We had the late Senator Difi with her driver.
Eric Swalwell.
Congressman Hootersville Eric Swalwell. Speaking of Snapchat, the king of Snapchat. His office was infiltrated by Feng Fang, who he had a relationship with. And now we have the former mayor. And you might be thinking, I'm going to say, oh, the former mayor of Arcadia was honeypotted by a Chinese. No, 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 no. The former mayor of Arcadia is a Chinese spy. This is the, we're leveling up here, okay? It starts with like, hey, How did DiFi not know that her driver for the past X amount of years was a Chinese spy? How did Eric Swalwell not know that this woman who was feigning interest in him was actually a Chinese spy? Victor Davis Hanson actually said, he was like, I met this woman, Fang Fang. You had to be real dumb not to figure out that she was trying to honeypot you. That's Eric Swalwell for you. But when you think about it, the Chinese spies must have been saying, this isn't challenging anymore. They're letting us be their drivers, Taylor. They're having affairs with us. We've got to up the ante. We've got to give ourselves a challenge. Let's try to actually be in the political seat. Forget trying to have an affair with the mayor. Forget trying to be a driver for the senator. Let's become the actual person in charge. So the former mayor of Arcadia was expected to plead guilty after being charged with acting as an illegal agent of the People's Republic of China, the Department of Justice said Monday. Eileen Wang, who was elected to
China.
Who was elected to the Arcadia City Council in November 2022, reached a plea deal with the federal government after she was accused of doing the bidding for the Chinese government via a news website. If that's all, though, I mean, there's a lot of journalists here who do the bidding of other governments in other countries through their news websites. But we just call them CNN, so I don't know. Wang, as well as Yaning, Mike's son, of allegedly worked at the direction of the People's Republic of China and operated U.S. News Center, a website that purposed news source for the local Chinese American community between late 2020 and through 2022. So they use this website to pretend that, oh, the Chinese community, you can come here, you can find out things about what's going on in the area, find out news. And in reality, they were just pumping propaganda out on the behalf of the CCP. And yeah.
Chinatown.
It's really embarrassing. It's embarrassing enough when you find out that a spy has infiltrated the system in some way. But when you find out that they infiltrated the system and then people elected them, that's really a whole new... I think that's a whole
Aren't
new
Aren't you embarrassed?
Has that happened? Maybe it has happened before.
She's probably... Is it she?
Mm-hmm.
Not Xi Jinping, but kind of Xi Jinping. Yeah, I imagine she's not the only one currently in office.
But like I'm saying, during the Cold War, do you think that we had any like Soviet spies who were winning local elections?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That feels like a bit of a stretch, doesn't it?
No, there was a whole campaign, better dead than red.
Yeah, I just think it's getting really... I think thanks to Eric Swalwell and Dianne Feinstein and just the general stupidity of all of our politicians, who seem so willing, by the way, they seem so willing to buy into propaganda and to spread propaganda, that I do think that's what's encouraged at least this mayor to say, they, and maybe her original goal was like, hey, see if you can cozy up to the mayor of Arcadia. And then she looks at it and goes, Taylor, she gives him a call. Forget cozying up to the mayor. I'm going to become the mayor. Okay, it's probably not going to work, but it did. But it did. Really, really wild. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to break down. I had one other story that I really wanted to get to before we bring on our 1:30 guest. And I'm going to find that story for you. And we'll talk about it when we come back. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. I just thought of it. This is the craziest thing. The New York Times...
You're forgetting something. China.
No, it's not China. The New York Times has a story out by this guy, Nicholas Kristof. And he wrote an op-ed for the New York Times. And he's accusing... Actually, I'll just leave it there. Wait till you see this. I mean, if you wonder how anti-Semitic propaganda gets around the world, the New York Times is doing their part. We'll talk about it when we come back.
China.
The Grace Curley Show will return.
If you don't know about the recent Supreme Court decisions affecting Second Amendment rights, you should tune into Rapid Fire, our local 2A talk radio show, to learn more about the cases being brought to the Massachusetts court system. Join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. at rapidfireradio.us. Or search Rapid Fire on your favorite podcast network. At Cape Gunworks, we are responding to all 2A news. Go to rapidfireradio.us and give us a shot.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what matters most to you when voting for governor? Pro-life versus pro-choice, campaign cash on hand, affordability, or the audit?
I'm going to say the audit, and I know a lot of these different states, fraud has been revealed. We've obviously had some fraud here revealed with EBT and SNAP and things like that. But when you look at Ohio, when you look at Minnesota, and what's really, what you're in Maine with Medicaid, what you uncover when you lift up the rock, I have to think that this stonewalling from the government here in Massachusetts, from Governor Maura Healey and others, is just indicative of a lot of problems and a lot of things that they don't want us to know about. And so I would like a governor who would come in and say, let's have some sunlight to disinfect this trash.
29% say the audit, 34% say affordability, 33% say pro-life versus pro-choice, 4% say campaign cash on hand.
All right, so this is a pretty wacky story. I'm going to read you David Harsanyi, who summed it up. It's about this writer, this columnist, Nicholas Kristof, and he, like so many others, is obsessed with Israel. And he wrote this op-ed in the New York Times. And just to give you a sense of how much evidence or, you know, sources were lacking in this piece, Harsanyi writes that in the story, Kristof tells the story of an unnamed 23-year-old Palestinian woman who contends she was arrested after October 7th, strip searched, mocked, tied up, beaten, and then molested and likely raped by Israelis. The Israelis, the woman tells Kristof, wanted to crush her spirit, a curiously political statement from an alleged rape victim. In any event, Kristof not only fails to provide the woman's name, but he offers no other witnesses, no complaints, no medical evidence from an Arab doctor, no photos of bruises, nothing but the accusation. Did the columnist ever verify that the woman had been detained? Because Kristof doesn't tell us in which prison this woman was held or why she was arrested or even when, any competent journalist would have heard blaring sirens when the story leaves out any details that could be used to launch a genuine investigation. It's difficult to believe that's an accident. But here's the craziest part. Kristof's most cartoonishly evil accusation, this was in the New York Times, contends that Israelis use trained dogs to rape Palestinian prisoners. This hoax is a favorite of online anti-Semitic podcaster types. Not only has there never been a shred of evidence that this has happened, but it's also probably biologically and cognitively unfeasible for humans to train dogs to rape people.
Love your dog.
He goes on to say, Palestinians have spent over 70 years pulling hoaxes on gullible Westerners to gain sympathy. Anyone who's followed the Middle East situation for more than 5 minutes is aware that Israel's enemies are constantly making up ludicrous claims about trained animals. Israelis are apparently the greatest animal trainers in history. The country has been accused of deploying sharks, rats, lizards, cows, dolphins, hawks, and pigs by its enemies. The only difference here is that a Western journalist was credulous or despicable enough to spread the conspiracy.
Jewish trains sharks. That's frightening.
I cannot believe... I can believe that the New York Times let this run. But even so... And the craziest part about people like Nicholas Kristof is they don't believe Hamas raped people on October 7th, even though there's video evidence of it. But with stuff like this, where there's no name, no evidence, no hospital, no witnesses... It's fit to print, according to Kristof. We'll be right back with the Mass Daily News.
They're eating the dogs.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So earlier in the show, we talked a lot about what happened yesterday on Memorial Drive in Cambridge. Joining me now is the Mass Daily News, who have had several different pieces on this and updates as we find out more information. This is a paroled cop shooter who sprayed 60 rifle rounds into Memorial Drive traffic yesterday around 1:30, leaving two innocent men fighting for their lives, and a state trooper and a Marine with an LTC took him down. Mass Daily News, give us the rundown on this story and what we know so far.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for having us back on. So Mass Daily News has been on this story since the bullets stopped flying yesterday afternoon. We've published three pieces on it already, and our newsroom has been working on it basically without a break since last night. So here's the picture. So a man named Tyler Brown, he's 46, out of Dorchester. He walked into the middle of Memorial Drive in Cambridge around 1:30 yesterday, like he said, and he was carrying a semi-automatic rifle, and he just started spraying 50 to 60 rounds oncoming traffic, and he hit roughly a dozen vehicles, including a U.S. Postal Service mail truck, and two innocent drivers, just men sitting in their own cars on their afternoon commute. They're in critical condition this morning, fighting for their lives. And the part that everybody in Massachusetts needs to sit with before the rest of this conversation makes any sense is this man should have never been on the street. He was on parole. He had already shot at two Boston police officers in 2020, and the Suffolk DA's office was asking for 12 years, which in our opinion is not even a lot for shooting at police officers, but the judge gave him five, and then he served less than five, and then he was back behind a rifle, and this time it was pointed at strangers. And then the part about the people that stopped him, this is the part that I think everybody should hear, is that the two people that stopped Tyler Brown on Memorial Drive yesterday, neither of them was the criminal justice system. One was the state trooper, as you mentioned. He was just on patrol along the river and engaged him in the middle of the road. And then a passing motorist, which was a former United States Marine and a former firearms instructor. He pulled a Glock 9mm out of a safe in the backseat of his car, and he emptied eight rounds at the gunman before taking cover behind a tree. Both of them hit him, and both of them walked away unharmed, thankfully. It's really crazy. And, you know, a lot of people that are reading our stuff, they're really furious about the judge that let him out for such a serious crime previously, and now he's back on the street. I can definitely go more into that.
Give me some info on this judge. I know that in your article you mentioned Dave Portnoy also was reposting his anger over this situation, and that obviously got eyes from all over the country on this. But what do we know about this judge so far?
Yeah, and I think that's the question every Massachusetts resident should be asking. So the judge has a name, and it's Janet L. Sanders. 5 years ago, Tyler Brown, he emptied 13 rounds from a 40 caliber Glock at two Boston police officers in the South End. And they asked, the DA's office asked for 10 to 12 years. And she cut the sentence in half. And the wildest part was that at the time that he was shooting at those Boston police officers, he was already on probation for a stabbing. And the bench knew that. And the bench had the file, and the bench still gave him 5 years. And now Sanders is now retired from the Massachusetts Superior Court after 28 years, and she works as a private mediation firm called JAMS. And the funny part is her own biography calls her the gold standard. So that's how the legal industry is describing the judge who put Tyler Brown back on Memorial Drive.
Yeah, and I want to talk about what the Suffolk Assistant District Attorney was asking for, because we're in Massachusetts, so there's always this kind of rush towards leniency no matter what. It does say something that Andrew Kettlewell thought this person was dangerous enough to ask for 10 to 12 years. And so for her to then say, I'm going to cut that down even further, is, I think, where a lot of people are pulling their hair out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think a big part of it is that judges in Massachusetts and really around the country, they don't really answer for anything because they have absolute judicial immunity. So Judge Sanders, she cut a cop shooter sentence in half. And 5 years later, two innocent drivers, they're in critical condition. There's just no legal mechanism that can do anything about it, right? Like, imagine you're a doctor and you perform surgery and, you know, you do a bad surgery. You are subject to multi-million dollars in malpractice. And for a judge, like, there's nothing. Like, she probably has an even higher paying job now.
Yeah, and I did want to ask about the two people, Mass Daily News, the two people who were in their cars who were... we were told were in critical condition. And after he sprayed these 60 rounds, these two men who were driving in separate cars, that's what I've read, were injured. And do we have anything on them? Are they doing okay? What is this looking like?
So so no word yet on that. My last understanding is they're still in critical condition. We're just hoping for the best for them and that they make a full recovery.
Yeah, and you said you get a lot of outreach from people in Massachusetts who are outraged by this. That doesn't surprise me. I think anyone with half a brain in any of the, especially all the people who are against gun violence, which, as I've always said, all of us are. This isn't a right wing or left wing thing. No one wants to see people mowed down by guns, should be speaking out right now, because this is a situation where if the system was working properly and this judge hadn't made this really bad call, then this guy never would have been able to do this. But beyond just Massachusetts residents who should be pissed off, I have to imagine you're hearing from Boston cops. There's been a tremendous amount of anger over the way the city has been treating cops, defending cops, or I should say there's been a real lack of defense of the police officers there. Have you been reached out to by any cops? Because you talked about this, the first incident, I don't think this is this guy's first incident, but the situation that almost led to him being in jail for 10 to 12 years was him shooting at cops in the South End. So the cops here have to be feeling like there's just no support. And even when there's close calls, that person is then put through this revolving door and let out yet again.
Yeah, absolutely. I have actually heard from a police officer on it. They're fed up with the whole thing. I mean, this even goes before this, you know, in Boston a couple months ago with Officer O'Malley, you know, a bunch of police officers were mad about that. The police union was tweeting as well about this whole thing, and they're really upset too. They said a statement last night on X that it was a ball drop and an undeniable insult to those who put their lives on the line every day. So, yeah, I do believe that cops have every right to be upset. The previous incident, right, with Officer O'Malley, the guy, I mean, he was a career criminal with 20 years, you know, in the system, and just out on five separate felonies when that happened, and, you know, just to get charged by the DA when the cop, you know, says he was in fear for their life. You know, you don't really hear about this stuff down in Florida or Texas where it seems that police and law enforcement have more support, but up here in Massachusetts, you know, there was the whole defund the police movement from the you know, progressive leaders, and it's just, it's got to be a hard time to be a police officer in Massachusetts.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with you, and it makes sense why they've been facing so many vacancies, and, you know, they're dealing with hiring crises because, yeah, they know that they're out there and they're not going to be getting the support from the leadership in the city. I also wanted to ask you, Mass Daily News, one of my texters here, 339, said, Grace, can you ask him how long this man had been released until this happened? So how long? I know he served 5 years. He was on parole. So let's say when he was released from prison until yesterday, how long were we looking at there?
Yeah, so... according to the research, it's been It hasn't been a long time. I want to say it was less than 12 months. I wish I had a better answer for that. But yeah, he was not in prison for a long time for his crime. And then he was recently released. I want to say within the last 12 months or so, and immediately just, this is what happens. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, and the state trooper that you were referring to is okay, and the Marine is okay. Do we know anything else about this Marine? It seems almost miraculous that both of these men were able to act so quickly and to take out this threat, because this could have been an event of mass casualties if those two men hadn't done what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. It could have been. There was a recent article that just came out from NBC 10 that they did an exclusive interview with a woman that said that the Marine, she's saying that the Marine saved her life, which is true. And within that article, it talks about how basically he came to this car that was a woman driving in it, said, opened the doors and, you know, said, hey, like get out of here, run, you know. The Marine made a barricade out of the door, and she was able to get away and run. And I believe that's when the Marines started shooting at Tyler Brown.
Yeah, this story is just, I mean, everyone's reaction to it, saying this cannot stand, this is unacceptable, this is horrific. Everyone is dead on with this, because, and I know that here you have the headline about the judge, she belongs in prison. And you mentioned how there's no ramifications for judges, or there's no consequences for these bad actions. But the outrage is there, in spite of the fact that probably nothing will happen about it. Mass Daily News, we thank you. Tell everyone where they can follow you and where they can read all of these ongoing stories.
Yeah, absolutely. MassDailyNews.com, and then we're all over social media. Check us out. And Grace, thanks again for having us on. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm checking out the Mass Daily News every day. And like I said, if you're trying to follow a local story like this one, which has now become a national story, people all over the country are looking at this, yet again, looking at Massachusetts as things we don't want to do. We're a good roadmap for places like Florida. They look at us and they go, well, if everything they do is wrong, then the opposite of it must be right. I wanted to remind everyone that on Thursday, Howie will be at Manzi Appraisers in Woburn from 2 to 5, and J.J. Manning Auctioneers will be there as well, because they're auctioning off Karen Reed's SUV. So if you want to, it's kind of a twofer, Taylor. You get to watch Howie do his show, and then you also get to be there for the live auction of the SUV.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a little rainy on Thursday, so we're probably going to have the auction inside, so it's going to be close quarters, but it's going to be exciting.
Are you going to try your hand?
At winning the Lexus?
No. I'm talking about
being the auctioneer.
Yeah, that feels like a job that, in an alternate universe, what did you say about the aliens in an interdimensional?
Yes.
In another world, you were an auctioneer in your sequin blazer, in your tight sequin blazer.
Requires fast talking. I'm not much of a fast talker. I'm a slow talker.
Give me your best one. Give me your best one. Auction off this pin.
What am I here to bid for this penny? 10, going 10, 10, 10, 15, 15, and then we hear 15, 25, 25, I get 25.
To the lady with the
a lot
big
of mumbling.
Blue eyes. Yeah, it would be fun, though. I love guys who can do that. It's so cool when you start hearing them go.
They go to school for that. It's crazy.
Accredited universities.
I think Justin Manning does it.
I wonder if he, yeah.
I think he said that before, yeah.
I'll have to ask him that. Mainstream media and you know what, Taylor? That's one of those things where if I'm sitting there and they're not doing it, if my home's up for auction, I'm requesting that. I'm saying, hey, hold on a second. This is an auction. I thought I was going to hear the fast-talking voice. That's part of the deal. Mainstream media just announced that for the first time ever, there are nearly 50% more home sellers than home buyers in the U.S. There are 600,000 more home sellers than there are buyers. So what can you do in this moment to get your property noticed? What can be done with your property to set it apart from the masses? The answer is easy. Conduct a voluntary auction with J.J. Manning. For over 50 years, this J.J. Manning Auctioneers has successfully sold for individuals, families, trusts, estates, and businesses. And a J.J. Manning auction creates a competitive bidding environment. And if you list with J.J. Manning for an auction, you can stand out from the pack. There are no negotiations. There are only clear auction terms. You sell as is and contingency free. You control the terms and you control the timeline. JJ Manning has the following auctions coming up for Howie and Grace listeners. June 11th, an estate auction of a 3-bedroom home in Hanover. June 18th, a 5-bedroom compound in Bedford, Mass. And don't forget, Karen Reed's Lexus SUV goes on the block on May 14th at Manzi Appraisers in Woburn, Mass. If you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Big news out of the White House today. Marty McCary officially has resigned. He's the head of the FDA, I believe. We've had Marty McCary on the show before. He's no longer going to be working at the White House. So that's a breaking news update for you. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Trump speaking to reporters now at the White House. I think we should take him, Taylor. If he stops taking questions the second I say that, that'll be just my luck. No, he's still taking them. Let's hear.
Mr. President, do you believe your visit to China will impact of international economy and price of oil?
It's going to be a positive. We're going to have a very good meeting. I spoke with President Xi. We both look forward to the meeting. It's going to be great.
Mr. President.
Mark, what is going to be your red line in the ceasefire for you? What will it take to pull the plug?
Well, we're going to see, and we'll be thinking about it on the flight, and we'll be thinking about it for the next little while, but we've beaten their militaries very soundly. That's over with. The blockade is very effective. It's been 100% effective, and one way or the other, it's going to work out very well. It's going to work out very well. I think you're going to have so much oil, you're going to have a gusher of oil like you've never had before.
So we think that tie, Grace, it's like a yellow or gold with kind of brown dots on it.
When we were contemplating, we assumed oil would go much higher. Yesterday it was at $99. And if you think about it, I would have taken that all day long because it's very simple. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. They will not have a nuclear weapon. They know that. They've agreed to that. And then that's not what they said to me when it came to pay. We don't play games. They're not going to have a nuclear weapon.
Mr. President, you promised to bring inflation down. It's now at its highest level in 3 years. Are your policies not working? What's happening?
Policies are working incredibly. If you go back to just before the war, for the last 3 months, inflation was at 1.7%. Now,
yeah, pause it there. There was a point that was made by Bonchi on X. He said, we have two choices. Stop the one-sided ceasefire and throw everything we have at reopening the strait, hopefully with enough time for prices to drop before November. I do think prices would drop before November. Or number two, continue to let Iran stall, ensuring inflationary pressures remain in place until it's too late. I'm worried about option two here, that he's leaning towards that when he talks about, if you look at before the war started, we can't be looking at before the war started. We're in it right now. We have to be worried about the current present day. And so I'm hoping that option one wins out. I will say one of the comments that he just made there about the blockade, which I don't think is getting nearly enough credit, is this domestic pressure on the Iranian regime is increasing day by day. And just because we're not feeling it, or we don't have, you know, we don't have the option of seeing exactly what's going on there, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. And Trump actually called it death by a thousand cuts. And I think that there's some truth to that, where if you have this blockade in effect, it's very, very painful for them economically. They're on the brink of collapse. And so we have to keep that up. But I think we got to throw more at them. And I'm hoping, you know, he said on the plane, they're going to talk about it. I hope that on that plane, they're saying, when we get back Friday night, that plug is being pulled. All right, Howie Carr's coming up next. He's got a great show planned for you. I'll see you all tomorrow for Hump Day!
China!